popping firecrackers and everything. Who here's read Crazy Love? Who here doesn't know what Crazy Love is? Well, don't you can be honest, okay? At least we have two honest people here today. Last November, Ray and I and several of the singles here went to this event called Fusion and Lead. Now we got to hear a guy named Francis Chan speak, and Francis Chan is. I thought that was somebody's phone. Oh, it is somebody's phone. Okay. I thought it was my phone, actually. I was like, okay, turn my phone on silent. But anyway, Francis Chan wrote this book called Crazy Love. And Ray bought it and read it. I bought it and read it. And it's the kind of book that once you start reading it, you cannot put it down. Does everybody agree with that, the ones that have read it? This book is, to me, it's life-changing. It just totally changed the way that I think, the way that I think about Christianity, what it really means to be a follower of Christ. And this is probably a safe statement. There's probably 20 people here at Ways of Faith that I either bought the book for or recommended it to, and there's countless other people that I was like, you know what, you have to read this book. Raymond read the book in one day, right, Raymond? Not even in one full day. He told me, he goes, bro, man, I read it in like 3 hours. He couldn't put it down. The book is that good. But I was like so excited about it, I was telling everybody, because I was like, this material here will change the way you think. Who here has not read Crazy Love but would want to read it? Well, okay, I saw Aurora first. I'm going to give this to her. So, read it, and then you can let everybody know. She's going to do a book report due next week. Now, the other thing, who knows what a podi is? I know not many people will know what a podi is. When Julian was he born yet, Carrie? He wasn't born yet. She was watching Oprah, and this thing was on there, and it's a system. You hook this tube up to a special nipple, and you put it in the bottle. So like when babies are like really, really little and they can't hold the bottle themselves, you just stick, Eva, it's just a bottle. You don't have to be, but you stick the bottle like in their car seat, and then they drink. It's just like having a pacifier in their mouth. But it's like so cool. Like when you're driving and things like that and your baby's hungry, you can just throw the bottle back there, pop it in their mouth, and they can drink it. But it also, because of this tube and the special nipple, they ingest less air. So they're less gassy. It's just a really, really cool thing. We bought this, and we were like blown away. Huh? Oh, I thought she was talking about the microphone. Less ear infections, too, for whatever reason. But we were like just so amazed by this thing that we started telling everybody about it. If we saw you at Walmart and you're pushing a little baby in a stroller, we were telling you about the podi. We probably personally sold 100 podis. Easily. I guarantee it. We were buying them. If you had a baby shower 4 years ago, you probably got a podi from us. We sent them to her sister, who's a pediatrician in Puerto Rico. That's what we sent to her when her baby was born. Who here has a young baby that's still over here? Huh? Well, I saw her hand first over there. You're going to get feedback. That's okay. Is that okay? I'm just going to walk all around today. I might sit back here. Give that to her. You're going to have to report back to us and tell us how revolutionary the podi was for her. But it was like the coolest thing. And I actually went and bought those the other day. But the point is, we were like so excited about them that we were telling everybody. And you know, the people that knew us, we had influence over. But, you know, people we didn't know, we were still just telling them, look, you've got to get the podi. You've got to try this thing out. Huh? Did you? Oh, and what did you think, Nellie? See? We would not lie about it. And we didn't receive any kickbacks from podi or anything like that. But the point is, we're all walking, talking billboards in some capacity. We're all advertising something. And we are walking, talking influencers. We have influence over a certain group of people that, you know, we'll call our sphere of influence. But when we get really excited about something, that's who we go to, the people that we know, the people that are closest to us. And those are the people that we have influence over. And I've already said it once. When we get really excited about something, we want to tell everybody. I mean, plain and simple. I here in recent memory, Michael Jackson passed away. We weren't excited about it in the sense like we were happy to see him go, but man, Facebook, Twitter, text messaging, I mean, it was all over the place. It didn't take long for everybody to know that the King of Pop had passed away. It created a lot of excitement, and we were trying to tell everybody. We wanted to be the first one, you know, like I guess people wouldn't find out. You know, we wanted to be the first one to tell everybody, did you hear Michael Jackson died? Like we had a direct call from Janet or something. But think about for a second, the last movie that you saw, or maybe the last restaurant that you ate at, that got you so excited that you had to go tell everybody that you know. Maybe it was Transformers. Andy, yes? Did you tell people about it? Okay, of course. Maybe it was Transformers. Maybe it was The Hangover. I haven't seen The Hangover or Transformers. Maybe it was Up. Who's seen Up? Up in 3D? It is a great movie. If you haven't seen it, doesn't matter if you have kids or not, it's a great movie. My sister's Keepers, I haven't heard of it, but I'll take her recommendation. Did you tell people about it? Maybe it was The Night at the Museum too. Or when it comes to Ice Age, who's seen Ice Age? Is it good in 3D? Okay. I mean, there's so many things like that. We get excited about movies, and we want to go tell everybody, man, you've got to go see it. We give it 2 thumbs up. We give it 4 out of 5 stars or whatever. Food, restaurants. Maybe it's Mi Cocina or Mil Tacos or Uncle Julio's. I like Mexican food, so like everyone I'm going to name. But, you know, you go and you eat something or you eat somewhere, especially somewhere that, like, nobody that you know has ever eaten there, and you go and tell everybody, man, you've got to go try out this restaurant. You've got to go try out this dish. Maybe it's technology. It could be like your new BlackBerry. Where's Sonny? BlackBerry Storm. He's with the kids. Your BlackBerry, your new iPhone. Man, you got to check this out. You've got to get one. MacBook Pro. I mean, whatever. But we just get so excited about things that we want to go tell everybody. I was India team, raise your hands. Okay. Has anybody seen anybody on the India team wearing these sandals? We've seen them. Some people seen them. A lot of us have been made fun of for wearing these sandals. But let me tell you, these Keen H2 Newport sandals. Ray was getting ready to go buy these sandals in Dallas, and I'd done research online that on what would be the best sandals for us to wear when we're in India. And I'm like, Ray, when you go, try these on. I'd never seen them in person. I didn't know anything about them. But I was like, Ray, you've got to try them on. And he tried them on. He loved them, and he bought them. Then he let me try his on. I loved them. I was like, wow. So we started telling everybody on the India team, you've got to get these sandals. And I believe, with the exception of one person who I won't name, 9 out of the 10 people have bought these sandals. But I tell you what, when you tell everybody about your favorite movie, have you ever gotten a kickback or free movie passes from Rave or received a check in the mail from Paramount Pictures or Disney because you referred so many people to the movie? What about like free food? You're telling everybody to go to this restaurant. Have you ever had a restaurant hook you up because, you know what, I really appreciate you sending me all this business, so I'm going to take care of you. I got so excited about the Keen sandals, I didn't get my sandals free. I worked a little deal between Cabela's and Dick's Sporting Goods. I had to get a little creative, and I got them for $49, but I didn't get anything back from them. And the whole point is, we get so excited about this stuff that really doesn't matter, and we tell everybody. And I want us to watch another short little clip from Slumdog Millionaire. As you can tell, I love Slumdog Millionaire. It's a great movie. It has a great soundtrack. I love the music in it. It's just really, really cool. Now, ask yourself this question. Are you as excited about sharing your faith as you are about telling people about the latest movie you've seen or the last restaurant you've eaten at? And if the answer is no, then I would say, why not? If the answer is yes, then great, because even I know I struggle with it a lot of times. I find myself getting excited about things, and I'm like, why am I such an evangelist for this when it doesn't matter? And am I as excited and passionate about sharing my faith? So I want to take a quick look at a single example of someone who was very excited about knowing Jesus Christ and what that looks like. If you have a Bible, great. You can open it to John chapter 1. If not, the text is on your outline. But it's in John chapter 1. starting at verse 35, and I skip over a couple of verses, and this is from the Amplified Version. I love the amplification in this, which is why I chose this translation for this text. But starting in verse 35, it says, "Again the next day John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked along and said, 'Look, there's the Lamb of God.'" He was excited about that. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed him. And then jumping ahead to verse 40, it says, "One of the two who heard what John said and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first sought out and found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found, we have discovered the Messiah,' which translated is the Christ, or the Anointed One. Andrew then led or brought Simon to Jesus." And then we know what happened from there. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which translated is Peter, or stone. Okay. I know a lot of times as Christians we think that we need these really, really deep expository messages where the pastor or the preacher gets up there and like breaks down the text and just goes super, super deep into the text. And if you're struggling with being as excited about sharing your faith as you are about other things, it's my opinion that it's not because you need to know more. Because this right here, I could try to take it several different directions, but really it's very, very simple. And I want us to look at just a couple of things, two or three things that are in this text that they're just very, it's almost so simple that you wonder, like, why are we not like that? But the first thing that I want to point out was that Andrew, he was actually a disciple of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist just said, "Look, there goes the Lamb of God." And Andrew didn't say, "Well, you know what, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Let me Google him to see who he really is. Let me see if he has a Facebook or a MySpace to see if this is the real deal or if this is a fake page or anything like that." But John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And Andrew followed him. He didn't need all these details. And I know for us, many times, we're not as quick. You know, we have to get more information and more information. We have to make sure, we have to verify, you know, and then we're just, to me, like almost naturally skeptical. You know, and they got it. But the two things that I really, really, that this kind of, this whole message hinges on is in verse 41, okay? Because they spent some time with Jesus. They spent a day with Jesus, just hanging out with him. It says that he first sought out and found his own brother, Simon. So it wasn't like, what I get from that, it wasn't like he knew exactly where he was. He sought him out. So he had to be intentional about it. He had to put forth some effort to go find his brother. And then he found his own brother, which tells me that, you know what, he was a man on a mission. He was so excited about being introduced to Jesus Christ that he went and found somebody that he has influence over, somebody from his sphere of influence, probably somebody that was the closest to him, his brother. So you could say that Andrew went and found his brother and introduced him to Christ, okay? But then the second thing, and this is so simple, I read the excitement when he says, "We have found, we have discovered the Messiah." I mean, the exclamation point, it might be kind of distorted because of the way the screen is, but he was excited about it. But then in verse 32, it says, "Andrew then," which means this is what he did next, "he led, brought Simon to Jesus." So Andrew, just through John the Baptist's acknowledgement of who Jesus was, came to know Christ. He then, with great excitement, went and found somebody very close to him and told him about Christ, and then he led him to Christ. He was excited. He was fired up. When we are really excited about something, we want to tell everybody. He started with the person closest to him. But there's not any like deep formula to this. I mean, this is like, it's extremely, extremely simple. But that's what he did. So why don't we have that same passion, that same enthusiasm when it comes to sharing our faith with Jesus Christ? I mean, why aren't we that excited? I know some of you said that you were, and I think that's awesome, but I know for probably many of us, we struggle with it. You know, 4th of July fireworks. I mean, how many saw awesome fireworks displays last night? Many people, we were probably excited about it. We probably told people about it. Man, you should have seen the fireworks over here last night. They were like awesome. But again, it's just, why don't we have that same passion and enthusiasm and excitement? So if we're not that excited about sharing our faith, we need to be real and ask ourselves why. If I'm not that excited about it, then why not? Well, I mean, where's the disconnect? why am I not as excited about sharing, you know, the fact that I saw Transformers and I thought it was a great movie? Why am I not excited about sharing my faith? We all have a sphere of influence, people that we have the ability to influence. And our ability to influence those people is directly related to how passionate we are, how excited we are about what we're sharing. If you're going to somebody and you're not excited about sharing your faith and you're just real nonchalant about it and like, yeah, you know, I go to church. Yeah, I know who Jesus is. You know, it's okay. Do you think anybody's going to get excited about that? But if you're like fired up and you're one to tell people how Jesus Christ has made a difference in your life and how you know that he can make a difference in their lives, and you're excited and you're passionate about it, and you're like, man, and you're just sticking with it. You're like Andrew. You're relentless in your pursuit of finding your brother. But when you're that excited about it, people will take notice. Does that make sense? We're going to watch one more short Slumdog Millionaire video. It's the last video of Slumdog Millionaire. And then we're going to pick back up.
I hate when my hair is wet and I put it up and then try to put it down and I get this complete madness. The point of this video, I saw Slumdog Millionaire a long time ago, actually. No, not a long time ago. I saw it last Thursday, the 12th. And I've fallen in love, like, completely in love with Slumdog Millionaire. It's a great movie. I know everyone knows it's an amazing movie, but seriously, it touched me in such a way. I was crying at the end of the movie, and as all the people in the audience were about to leave and my friends wanted to leave, they're like, come on, Pamela, we gotta go. And I was like, no, like, I was crying even after the movie had ended, and like, I didn't want everyone to see my ugly face when I was crying. Who wants that? But yeah, reasons for loving Slumdog so much. I just came back from India, like, not too long, like a month ago, and a lot of India is still stuck in my head. Like, I guess, the word Slumdog is, like, apparently seen through the movie as, like, a kid on the street begging for money. I met so many of those kind of kids, and got to talk to them and hang out with them a lot and really connected with a lot of them. And I missed them a lot. So seeing India again in this movie with it so fresh in my mind still, even if the scene wasn't sad necessarily, I was crying because I missed India so much. The movie was shot in Mumbai, India. And a lot of the scenes were similar to what Delhi looked like, and I stayed in Delhi for a very long time. So it really made me miss India. Slumdog Millionaire is like the most amazing movie, and everyone should see it. It's for everyone. Like, I don't see how someone could hate this movie. There's something in this movie that everyone will like. Maybe some people might not like the entire movie, but like, there's always like these little scenes, and you're like, oh my gosh, that's so amazing. And the soundtrack is so amazing too. I'm listening to it, like, every single morning, and it just gets me in the mood right away. I'm like, oh, I'm so tired, I need to get ready for school. And I turn on my iTunes, and I put up Slumdog Millionaire. I'm like, Jai Ho! Da-na-na-na-na. Jai Ho! It's life-changing, the movie itself. It's just really amazing. And I can't say any more than that. I'm just going on. I'm rambling now. I'm just repeating the same thing. Slumdog Millionaire is amazing. Ah! And Dave Patel. Dev? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's D-E-V. But he's absolutely good. He's not even gorgeous. He's just, like, charming as heck. He's just so adorable. He's got these little ears that just pop out. And he's so tall. And he's my age. Heart. Woo! Go see Slumdog Millionaire. Jai Ho! I'm gonna play it now. Even, like, just the instrumental music from the soundtrack is freaking amazing. This is the song that I absolutely love. But at the end of the movie, after everything's done, they're, like, in this train station in Mumbai, and it's, like, totally, like, cleaned out. Like, no one's in it, except for the entire cast and crew of the movie. And they're all, everyone's just doing this dance to this song, and it's freaking amazing. That's enough of that. I'm gonna lose it. Dave Patel, will you marry me? Come on. Who wouldn't marry that face?
Okay, see how excited she was about Slumdog? If you haven't seen it yet, I bet you at least want to see it now a little bit. Based on my recommendation, based on her recommendation, go to Redbox. I mean, it's a dollar, but it will be well worth it, I promise you. It is a great, great movie. And Slumdog Millionaire. Yes, Academy Award winner, Best Picture. And when enthusiasm, this is kind of this ties into, I'm just going to touch on this for a second. Enthusiasm, we're all familiar with the word enthusiasm. We know what it means. And if you go back to the original roots of the move, of the word enthusiasm, in Greek, it comes from a word called entheos, which literally translates, means having God within. So when you look at the root of enthusiasm and where it came from and what it means, having God within, if you're not as excited about sharing your faith as you are about sharing other things, you may need to ask yourself, you know, do I really have God within me? Do I really have God's Spirit indwelling in me? And earlier, one of the songs that they sang, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. If you listen to the lyrics of that, and I saw most people singing, you know, I could sing of your love forever. And you know, all the joy and the happiness, and I feel like dancing and everything. You know, we sing songs like that, but do we feel like that once we walk out the doors? You know what I mean? We say we can sing of your love forever, but do we really sing of his love forever? Are we singing of, you got to go see this movie. Man, you got to eat at this restaurant. Are we really singing of God's love forever? And so right now, if you're not feeling like, you know what, I don't have that enthusiasm and that passion that I should have, a good starting point would be to ask yourself this question. And this is actually, Francis Chan talked about it in Crazy Love, but and I think John Piper actually said it first, so this is going to be like third generation translation paraphrase of it, but ask yourself this question, would I be okay with heaven? Let's say if there's no sickness, no war, no famine, no anything that we know it down here on earth, anything that causes us pain, but would I be okay with heaven, with all of those things, if Jesus Christ wasn't there? We have to ask ourselves that question. And another message that hopefully I'll get to do at some point in the future centers around the fact that we get so, we make heaven the goal, getting into heaven. You know, what can I do to get into heaven? That we totally miss out on the fact that our real goal should be spending eternity in the presence of God. We just want to get to heaven. But we you know, God's there, great. If God's not there, I don't care. You know, and that's really what our goal should be, is spending eternity in the presence of God, a wonderful, holy God, just worshiping him. So if you're not excited to the point that you want to tell everybody, I'm going to give you a reason to be excited. It's exciting to me. The second text on your outline, Romans 8, 1 through 4. I'm just going to read it from here. But this is a good reason to be excited. It says, so now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. So that's the therefore of no condemnation. If you read Romans 3:20, it will give you the therefore of condemnation. But this is the therefore of no condemnation. So now there's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Okay? To me, that's a very good reason to be excited. If we really believe what we talk about, if we really believe what I just read, that's a great reason to be excited. Okay, but what does it mean? And I want you to write this down. Just write it down in your notes. Thanks. I was real light. I figured people wouldn't want to write that much today. So no fill in the blanks, but write this down. This is what that means. I'm going to summarize it, and then I'm going to give you a little example. But what it means is that the law cannot claim you. The law cannot claim you. The law cannot condemn you, and the law cannot control you. We are not slaves to the law. We're not slaves to our old sinful nature. The law cannot claim you, the law cannot condemn you, and the law cannot control you. We have a freedom that's found in Christ that cannot be found anywhere else. That is the only thing that can give us what I just read, that can give us that therefore of no condemnation, is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I was trying to, and I shared this with Christina. I wanted to put it, what this really means. And I wanted to put it in just kind of like a simple format so that way we can really get it. Let's imagine somebody that was here at Surge on Friday night. And thank you everybody for coming out to Surge. But let's imagine you were at Surge on Friday night, which is the event that we have, the first Friday of every month at Waves of Faith, for primarily for young adults, but it's for anybody. But let's say you stayed at Surge, you left here about 10:30, you went out to eat like we always do, and then you hung out in fellowship for a while. Let's say it's 2 o'clock in the morning now, and you got up really, really early on Friday because you had a busy day. And so as you're driving home, you're very, very tired, and you're going down a two-lane road, Bailey Boswell Road. I'm saying that because that's where I live, a two-lane road. And as you're driving, you feel yourself starting to doze off. And you doze off for just a second, but as you doze off, you drift into oncoming traffic. And here comes a family of four going in the opposite direction, and you hit them head on. And that entire family is killed. You fell asleep at the wheel. It wasn't intentional. You didn't do it on purpose. But nevertheless, they are no longer here because you were sleepy and you ran into them. So, rightfully so, you're going to be charged with a crime. Maybe it's negligent homicide, vehicular manslaughter, something, you know, not a full-blown, you're not going to be charged with murder because that wasn't your intent. But this family of four is no longer here, so you're charged with those crimes. And you go to court, and you're found guilty because you did do it. Again, it wasn't intentional, it was an accident, but you're still responsible for this. So now you've been found guilty, and you're standing before the judge about to be sentenced. And the judge says, you know what? I'm going to sentence you to 50 years in prison. 50 years in prison for what you did. And as they're getting ready to handcuff you and lead you away, somebody bursts through the doors of the courtroom and says, hold up, judge. I want to serve his sentence for him. I want to serve her sentence for him. I want him to go free. And I'm going to serve the 50 years for him. So now you have this freedom. Somebody else is going to pay the penalty of your mistake, and you've gone free. Would you be excited about that? Do you think you would want to go tell everybody? You're not going to believe what happened. I was about to be led away to go to prison for 50 years, and somebody came through and said, you know what? I'll serve the sentence for him. That would excite me. That wouldn't excite anybody else. You'd be, oh, man, I really wanted to go to prison. I want to go down to Huntsville for 50 years, spend the rest of my life behind bars. That would excite me, but that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for each and every one of us when he died on the cross. God sent him to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that way we can have a freedom that can only be found in Christ Jesus. Imagine this. What if we all had that same passion, that same excitement, that same enthusiasm for sharing the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ with the people that we know, the people closest to us, the people that God has placed in our lives for a reason. If we had that same passion and enthusiasm for sharing our relationship as we do with sharing movies and restaurants, what kind of impact would that have on the people closest to us? What kind of impact would that have on our family, on our friends? What kind of impact would that have on our church? If we got serious about it and said, you know what, I have every reason to be excited. It's kind of sad that when you get excited about your faith and you're sharing people call you a religious fanatic. But we don't mind being a fanatic for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, we don't mind being a fanatic for the Dallas Mavericks, but we shy away from being a fanatic for Jesus. Because we don't want people to think that we're, you know, a religious kook or you know, we're super religious, which is not about religion anyway. It's about our relationship. But just imagine what that would look like if we got excited. All of us said, you know what? I am going to be fired up about my relationship with Christ. There are people in my life right now that I know need to know what I'm excited about, and I'm not going to be afraid to share with them anymore. I would challenge everybody to just try it, and I think you'll be amazed at what happens. I'm going to close with this story. When Dwight L. Moody was in London during one of his famous evangelistic tours, several British clergymen visited him. They wanted to know how and why this poorly educated American was so effective in winning throngs of people to Christ. Moody took the three men to the window of his hotel room and asked each in turn what he saw. One by one, the men described the people in the park below. Then Moody looked out the window with tears rolling down his cheeks. One of the men asked him, "What do you see, Mr. Moody?" He responded, "I see countless thousands of souls that will one day spend eternity in hell if they do not find the Savior." Obviously, D.L. Moody saw people differently than the average observer does. And because he saw eternal souls where others only saw people strolling in a park, Moody approached life with a different agenda. When we get really excited about our relationship with Christ, we approach life with a different agenda. I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much, Lord, for sending your Son to pay the penalty for our sin, Lord. I know that we can never do it on our own, Lord, and I know that we don't deserve it, Father, but that's what grace is all about, Father. It's you giving us favor. It's you doing something for us, Lord, that we could never earn on our own, Lord. It's not about us, trying to be good people, Lord. It's not about us trying to do better, Father. It's simply about us embracing our relationship with you, Lord, and getting excited about that relationship, Father, and living out our faith, Lord. Not letting it just be a Sunday morning thing, Father, but letting it be a part of our lives, Lord, something that it just takes control of us, Lord, 24/7, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we have boldness, Father, as we leave here, Lord, that we're not afraid to share our faith with the people that are in our lives, Lord, that we just have a confidence, Lord. If we really believe everything that we talk about, Lord, then let us have confidence when we share, Lord, and yes, Lord, pray for discernment, Lord, for you to lead us and guide us to those people, Lord. But open our eyes, Lord, to all those people around us, Lord. Don't let us just see people strolling in the park anymore, Lord. Let us see people, Father, that you've entrusted us with, Lord, for the very reason, just like Andrew did with Peter, Lord, of leading people to you, Father, of giving people the same opportunity to know you that we have, Lord. Father, I pray that you just use me somehow, Lord. I'm just your humble servant, Lord, and far from perfect myself, Lord. But I just pray that there's something that you spoke through me today, Lord, that connected with somebody, Lord. Father, I thank everybody for being here today, Lord. The day after a holiday, Lord, there's all sorts of distractions, Father. There's so many things that probably kept several of us from even being here today, Lord. We had a late night last night. We woke up late today. We're tired. We just didn't feel like being here, Lord. And I pray that the people that did show up, Lord, that they did receive something. And if you're sitting out there right now and you're just saying, you know what, I don't have that relationship. I don't have that excitement. And you just don't know what to do. It's simply a matter of asking for that relationship, embracing that relationship, and turning over, literally putting God in the driver's seat. So I'm tired of doing things my way. It hadn't gotten me anywhere, if I'm honest with myself. I mean, my life has been out of control, and yeah, there are good times, but you know, at the end of it all, I just know that I'm missing something. And if you feel that way, if you feel like you're missing something, just turn it over to Him. Literally, let Him consume your life. Ask Him to help you to develop that passion, that enthusiasm, that excitement that only He can do. Because remember, there's a freedom that can only be found in Christ Jesus. A freedom that cannot be found anywhere else. Can't be found in power. It can't be found in money. It can't be found in other relationships. Doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, what kind of job you have. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is experiencing that freedom. Father, we love you so much, Lord. We love you so much. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we ask these things in your wonderful Holy Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bobby.